It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Welcome, everyone, to the Untold Story podcast for today. I'm Martha McCallum, and I often say that I'm honored to be joined by my guests, but in this case, it's truly an honor because today we are joined by two Medal of Honor recipients, Staff Sergeant Sal Gionta and Staff Sergeant Clinton L. Romesha. Romesha, how do you say your name?
Romesha.
But I
hear it so many different ways, I'll answer to it all.
Romesha. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being with me today. It's really, as I said, truly an honor to be joined by both of you. And, you know, one of the reasons that we're speaking with you in particular this March is that National Medal of Honor Day is March 25th. So we wanted to speak to you, two Medal of Honor winners, to kind of talk about the fact that we do recognize you all on this day every year. And Sal, if I can call you Sal, let me ask you to sort of give us your thoughts on the importance of that Medal of Honor Day and of recognizing it. Tell us your thoughts on that, Sal, and welcome.
Yeah, thank you. It's pretty interesting because being the actions that I received the Medal of Honor, my actions don't stand out to me, but through recognition of what other people saw is what made it stand out, what highlighted it. Mm-hmm. And so the opportunity to have a National Medal of Honor Day, March 25th, and have recipients around, and we lay a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. But what we also do on that day is we highlight Citizens Honor awardees. And these are everyday people, citizens of the United States, that have gone above and beyond and do incredible things. And so it gives us a chance to recognize them. It's never about, it's not me and it's not Clint. It's everyone we served with as well. And so when you have a day like Medal of Honor Day, I mean, Clint and I are on your show right now representing so many amazing men and women that some of them still wear the uniform today. And to have this day gives us a chance to recognize them, highlight them, talk about them, you know, talk about America, really, and what brings us together, not what divides us. It's not one particular action. It's a way of life. And I think it's what we all strive for. Mm-hmm. We just don't get, not everyone gets recognized for it.
I appreciate that. And every Medal of Honor recipient I have spoken to over the years has said some version of not being a hero and of recognizing the people who were around them on that day as the true heroes. And I, you gentlemen are in a great tradition of humility, but you are great heroes. And I believe that anybody who reads your citations and understands your story will believe the same thing. So I'm going to take a moment to read your citation first, because at least a part of it, Specialist Salvatore Giunta, United States Army, because I want people to understand what you did. Specialist Salvador Gionta distinguished himself conspicuously by gallantry and intrepidity of risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty in action with an armed enemy in Korangal Valley, Afghanistan on October 25th, 2007. While conducting a patrol as team leader with Company B, 2nd Battalion Airborne, 503rd Infantry Regiment, Specialist Gionta and his team were navigating through harsh terrain when they were ambushed by a well-armed and well-coordinated insurgent force. While under heavy enemy fire, Specialist Gionta immediately sprinted towards cover and engaged the enemy. Seeing that his squad leader had fallen and believing that he had been injured, Specialist Gionta exposed himself to withering enemy fire and raced towards his squad leader, helped him to cover, and administered medical aid. While administering first aid, enemy fire struck Specialist Junta's body armor, and his secondary weapon. Without regard to the ongoing fire, he engaged the enemy before prepping and throwing grenades, using the explosions for cover in order to conceal his position, attempting to reach additional wounded fellow soldiers who were separated from the squad. He and his team encountered a barrage of enemy fire that forced them to the ground and continued forward. And it goes on there. You know, Specialist Giunta, what do you think of when you hear those words today? I know you've gone on with your life, but what takes you back in that moment when you hear your citation?
it does take me back. And I think the older I've gotten, it takes me to different places when I hear it. Now that I'm a father of three children and a husband, it never takes me back, though, to me. It takes me back to those around me. That sounded like I did a whole bunch of incredible things, but I didn't. And again, we did. There was 18 of us there. And talking about my squad leader, a man named Eric Gallardo, who just retired from the military, he was shot in the helmet and it knocked him out, and he got back in the fight immediately thereafter. And so although this story, when I heard you read the citation, it brings me back to all the ancillary things that aren't in there and the people that did them. And those ancillary things really are what turned the tide of that fight. I truly am and have always been lucky and felt privileged to be a United States citizen, because I do know it's not free. It comes at a cost as we continue to engage in conflicts around the world and try to protect what we have. Someone has to do it. And I promise you, I'm on a 10th floor building in downtown Dallas right now, getting ready to go back to my cubicle and do work after this. It's not me protecting America, but I get to reap the benefits of it. And so it always takes me back to the people.
Well, thank you. And I hope that, you know, everybody in the cubicles around you understands who they are in the company of. I'm sure maybe you have to remind them once in a while. But
I don't tell them at all.
I'm sure you don't.
Be invited to the table for what you do and not for what you did. Yeah. And that keeps you, I think it keeps you hungry. It keeps you motivated. It keeps you engaged and it allows you to evolve. And I mean, that I think that's what we need in business. That's what we need in life. I think it's a good way to be. And therefore, I just tell them my name's Salvatore Giunta, a guy from Iowa with too many vowels.
Well, I messed up your vowels. I messed up both of your vowels, and I really apologize for that. Though you say your name far better than I do. So thank you for clarifying that. Let me bring back in Staff Sergeant Clinton Romiche, my goodness, I'm sorry, I'm tongue-tied today, gentlemen. And I'd like to read a little bit of your citation, Sergeant Romiche, if I may. It goes a little bit like this. Distinguished himself by acts of gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life and beyond the call of duty while serving as a section leader with Bravo Troop, 3rd Squadron, 61st Cavalry Regiment, 4th Brigade Combat Team, 4th Infantry Division during combat operations against an armed enemy at Combat Outpost Keating, Kamdesh District, Nuristan Province, Afghanistan on October 3rd, 2009. On that morning, Staff Sergeant Romiche and his comrades awakened to an attack by an estimated 300 enemy fighters occupying the high ground on all four sides of the complex, employing concentrated fire from recoilless rifles, rocket-propelled grenades, anti-aircraft machine guns, mortars, and small arms fire. Staff Sergeant Romiche moved uncovered under intense enemy fire to conduct a reconnaissance of the battlefield and seek reinforcements from the barracks before returning to action with the support of an assistant gunner. He took out an enemy machine gun team while engaging a second. The generator he was using for cover was struck by a rocket-propelled grenade, inflicting him with shrapnel wounds. Undeterred by his injuries, Staff Sergeant Romiche continued to fight. And upon the arrival of another soldier to aid him and the assistant gunner, he again rushed through the exposed avenue to assemble additional soldiers. Staff Sergeant Romiche then mobilized a 5-man team, returned to the fight, equipped with a sniper rifle. With complete disregard for his own safety, he continually exposed himself to heavy enemy fire as he moved confidently about the battlefield, engaging and destroying multiple enemy targets, including 3 Taliban fighters who had breached the compost outpost perimeter. And it goes on to detail your heroic exploits from there, Staff Sergeant. But I would ask you the same question. I know you don't go back to this every day, or maybe you do a little bit, but what are your thoughts when you listen to your citation, sir?
You know, it's one of those things I still have trouble kind of wrapping my head behind what I looked at just doing a job that day that I know you could have plucked me out and put any other red-blooded American in that position. And someone was going to rise to the occasion, because that's what we do as Americans. When we're challenged with adversity and facing that hardship, that's when we see the best of us. And as I reflect back to that day, it wasn't just me there with the machine gun. Specialist Gregory was right by my side as we were supporting fire over to San Gallegos. And I think that, you know, Zachary Copus, you know, was the only machine gun left in the fight on our perimeter defense. Kid sat there for 12 hours that day, most of the time by himself, holding down the whole eastern side of the camp so the Taliban couldn't keep running in on us. It's one of those things, I didn't do it alone. We never do anything alone. We always have our battle buddies to our left and right. And it's, as I think back to that day, those are the things I remember. Those are the things I reflect back to, is the great heroics of Larson and Raz and Bunderman and Harder and Avalos, and most importantly, those eight great men we lost that day. But again, it's one day of our lives, not a defining moment. It's a huge chapter in it, but it's about what we're doing tomorrow, what we're doing going ahead, showing up for the future and making a difference of the things we can affect. And that's when I think about that day and that citation and Medal of Honor Day. Those are the things I'm thinking about, is what can we do tomorrow that we did better today and can improve the next generation.
You know, I'm curious, just staying with you for a moment, Sergeant Romichet. One of the things that I think is important about Medal of Honor Day and telling these stories is so that younger people hear them and are inspired to service and understand the sacrifice that people like both of you made when you decided to wear the uniform and to defend our country. What do you think about young people today, and do you think they understand enough about the sacrifices that you all and all of the people you served with made?
You know, the next generation is one of those, like, we always think, hey, these kids today, they don't know anything, or they got it so easy, or they're not like what it was when we were growing up. But we got to understand too, those are kids, they don't know any different. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't have that experience to fall back on. So it's on us to highlight those things, to show them what heroes really look like. And for me, a hero is those that don't come home, that have paid that ultimate sacrifice to sit here and on days like Medal of Honor Day, on Memorial Day, 4th of July, Veterans Day, that we highlight that, that we show the next generation that service to this country will always be just more than appreciative, and that hopefully this country will never forget that, because as soon as we do, we have lost the most precious thing we've had in this country, and that's our freedom. Because if we don't have the next generation to stand up and defend, it'll be gone tomorrow. But it is on us as families, fathers, mothers, uncles, aunts, to pass that along, to instill those values of patriotism, honor, selfless service, sacrifice, commitment, to the next generation. And I think they've got it. We just got to show them.
The Untold Story continues right after this.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Kilmeade. I want you to join me weekdays at 9 a.m. East as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and, of course, what you think.
Listen live or get the podcast now at BrianKilmeadeShow.com.
Specialist Giunta, when you listen to that and you reflect on your own experience as a dad and as, you know, someone who's gone on with your life and your career, these are the moments that parents can highlight and, you know, citizens across the country can take a moment to highlight and try to share these stories. What do you think about America today, having defended our freedom and our country?
Like I said, I've never been more proud of anything in my life than to say I am American, and not just say it because I was born here, but say it because I fought for it. I tried for it. I lost for it. I had the opportunity to live out of the country for about 8 years, and some of those years were great. Some of those weren't so great, but at the end of the day, I was always an American, and that is an identity for me that I carry with me regardless of where I'm at. And I carry that with me because I want it to not stand out as the number one attribute of me, but I want people to know that when you see me do good things, I think this is what we are striving for as Americans, right? The next great thing, the next opportunity, the next chance to make a difference. I mean, even as Medal of Honor recipients, we're a Medal of Honor society, right? A small collective group of people bound together by our actions, really. But that group deserves to be so much bigger. And that's what I'm so proud of, is the unsung heroes that make this and keep this the greatest country in the world. That's what I can be motivated about, because it's not me, it's someone else. And they might be 18 years old, and it doesn't take camouflage and a gun to be of service to your country. It takes care and compassion and the mindset that you can make a difference. We'll all make a difference. Some will be positive, some will be negative, some will be big, and some will be small. I think if you create that goal of making a large, good, positive difference, you have a higher chance of achieving that. And so I think that's the American spirit.
You know, I know that you both do a lot in your community. How do you try to convey, Clint, to younger generations sort of how they can serve? You know, coming off of what we just heard from Sal, you know, what's your way of communicating that message and trying to inspire younger people to love the country and to do their own, you know, in whatever way they want to serve?
You know, for me, it's just kind of trying to be that example and sharing kind of my story and growing up. I grew up in a town of 100 people. I weighed 120 pounds and was 5'5" coming into the Army. Back when I was 18 years old, I had no idea what life had in store for me, but it was 1999. We didn't have a whole lot going on. And now you can look years and years later, you know, we've gone through a global war of terrorism. We've had so many young men and women called up in defense of that. And it's that message, though, again, that we all have that greatness inside of us. And sometimes, you know, you don't get to pick the time or the place. You know, the timing might not be right. You might not be in the right place, or you might be in the wrong place. You might be anywhere and everywhere, but there might come that chance and that time that you are faced with something where we as Americans have that choice. You can sit there and idly let it pass you by and not say a word, or you can stand up to do the right things for the right reasons. Again, you know, that day of action is just one day of our lives, but it's continuing to go forward and to be that example for the next generation and to instill that upon them, that the best lessons I ever learned in life, I made it through so many mistakes. Don't be afraid to make those mistakes and know that you can overcome and rise above and challenge that and go forward into the future.
You know, Clint, you just mentioned something that I want to go back to, enlisting in September of 1999, right before 9/11. What was the impact of that on you? And, you know, coming from that moment where things felt, you know, fairly safe in the United States, nobody saw 9/11 coming around the corner, and then there it was. We had a whole new fight on our hands. The impact of that on you, and then also, where do you think we are as a nation right now? Are we too complacent about the threats that we face?
You know, joining in 99, like I said, everything was pretty calm back then. And to be in the military prior to that, and then to be faced with September 11th, like I said, overnight, our entire world changed. Now we fast forward and we've got basically a whole new generation. We've got, talking to ROTC cadets and new soldiers that weren't even alive during September 11th. But it goes back to showing them we're not going to forget our history. You know, it was growing up, you know, my granddad, World War II, you know, Pearl Harbor Day was such a huge moment in this country. And mm-hmm. September 11th was one of our moments like that. And you never want to see the next generation go through that. But if there's one thing we know, is things are always going to change. And nothing's going to stay the same. Instilling those values and reinforcing what it means to serve and how important it is to protect what this nation is built upon is the greatest thing we can instill in that next generation.
Yeah, and very well put. Sal, you enlisted in November of 2003, so not long after 9/11. What was the impact of that day on your life and your future at that time?
You know, it was 100% part of the reason why I joined. I was a junior in high school, September 11, 2001, and I remember watching it on TV. in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and thinking, you know, this is our Pearl Harbor. And Pearl Harbor was a military strategic target. So it's not our Pearl Harbor. It was just an attack on our citizens. And someone needs to do something about this. And you know what? I don't have any plans. I wasn't planning on going to college. And the Army said I could spit and swear and jump out of planes and leave Iowa. And I could be part of the solution. And so it was just a neat opportunity to be better than myself or be better than what my current path was. It was a springboard to endless opportunities.
Sal, tell me a little bit about the Mission of America's Warrior Partnership, which I know you both are involved with. So I wanted to get a final thought first from Sal and then from Clint on what that is and what it means to you both. Sal?
Yeah, America Warriors Partnership is incredibly meaningful to me. I think in my time in the military, I would say 50% of my buddies are wildly successful. And I think about 50% of my buddies are, that's not true, about 25% are pretty average standard of life. And then there are those that fall below the poverty line and have other needs. And the people I know, it is difficult to go and ask for help. And there's so many organizations out there that do, that will provide help if you ask for it. I think one of the great benefits that American Warrior Partnership has is that they will come to you, right? They will build that trust, they will build that confidence, and then they will direct you towards these organizations and towards these groups that can address your needs. And so it's about catching them before there's a problem, building that rapport before there's a problem. And I say this before there's a problem, mental health, I think before a problem shows, right? Because mental health is such a disguised predicament to be in. And so America's Warrior Partnership is around the country partnering with other nonprofits and seeking the veterans, their family members, active duty service members, in community partners all around the country to find those people and help, give aid, give service. I mean, that's kind of what Clint and I were talking about is always trying to find a way to matter, find a way to give back, try to find a way to affect positive change. American Warrior Partnership, I do believe, does that. And, you know, I'm a bandwagon guy. And so if you're going the right direction and you're looking like a winner, let me jump on board and participate.
Clint, just a quick thought on the partnership before I let you both go.
You know, it's been amazing to be with on the board of America's Warrior Partnership. Their logic and mindset once again shows you don't have to wear the uniform to serve this country. And through their network system, helping over, I think, 4,000 veterans around the country last year with over almost a 90% success rate in 1,200 different counties, get veterans through their issues or problems. And it's by everyday Americans coming in and helping donate to that cause, helping being there to support these veteran service organizations all around the country that they plug directly back into the communities where a veteran is in need, in crisis, back into that community to get the local resources they need to help them then and there. But then have the national reach that if the problem's a little bigger than that, they can step a layer above. And this mindset of let's be proactive instead of reactive. Let's get ahead of the game instead of behind the eight ball and trying to react after something tragic happens. Their Operation Deep Dive with Duke University with veteran suicide studies. You know, like Sal said, it's not just a mental health issue. It's a whole bunch of different things. It's access to care, it's meaningful employment, it's financial heartaches and troubles, it's relationship issues. There are all these layers put together that so many Americans can help out and help support those veterans that have signed that blank check, that are now trying to move on with their life and might have that stumbling block or two, that let's get in front of it, let's go find out what they need and lift them up and help them out.
Thank you both so much. The organization is America's Warrior Partnership, and people can find that online. I know they're going to be inspired to want to help after hearing from both of you. Specialist Salvatore Giunta and Staff Sergeant Clinton Romache, Thank you, gentlemen, for your service to the country and for sharing your story with us and for truly being heroes. I can say that if you won't. And the heroes that you served alongside, we remember them and we're grateful for their service as well. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Medal of Honor Day, March 25th.
Thanks, Martha.
Thank you, Martha. Thanks for having us.
You've been listening to The Untold Story with Martha McCallum. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Make sure to rate and review. For more podcasts, go to foxnewspodcast.com. Listen ad-free with the Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
The Fox News Rundown, a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day, featuring insight from top newsmakers, reporters, and Fox News contributors. Listen and subscribe now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.